Thank you for such a beautiful message and song. Good to see you today. And in our winter and early springtime from now up to Easter, Easter comes earlier this year, April 1st, we're going to follow the story of what God does on mountains. And in these stories, incredible things happen, and you can almost follow the very story of God by seeing what happens in these mountain scenes. So for today, let me invite you, please, to turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. And we will begin reading at verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to Abraham, "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him out from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Let me lead us, please, as we pray. Our Father, show us the steps of Abraham. Open to us the heart of this man's journey. Help us to step along and not just observe this kind of sacrifice from a distance, but to recognize it as our own calling, to recognize it as the journey that we ourselves take. And so we ask that your Spirit take us into the story of Abraham and us. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. when Abraham was 75 years old. He was undoubtedly sitting with a group of senior men at Hardee's after they had ordered their biscuit when God said to him, "Abraham, I know it's late in the years of your life, but you need to go and pack up all of your things, take your family, and I want you to go somewhere." And undoubtedly, Abraham said, "Well, you know, I'm not in a position to do all this. I've spent my whole life here. I am retired. My career's done. It is just time for me to relax. I probably don't have that many years left remaining." And God said to him, "Abraham, you just need to pack your stuff." Abraham must have said, "Where are you going to take me?" God said, "Well, you'll see when you get there." Abraham gathered his family, he gathered his stuff, and he went on a journey. That journey took him to the place that God would fulfill his promise. And when all of this stuff started, by the way, and God kind of interrupted Abraham's latter years, God said to him, "By the way, I want you to know something, Abraham. There's going to come a day in which the number of your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky." And Abraham said, "I don't believe it. I don't have a son to my name." And God said, "Will you just wait on me?" And God furthermore said, "And all the nations of the world are going to be blessed by you." And Abraham must have thought to himself, "How could all of the nations in the world be blessed by me? I'm already writing my obituary for myself. I'm already planning my latter days. And yet you think all of the nations of the world are somehow going to be blessed by me, through me." And God said, "You just wait and see." So Abraham did all that God asked him to do. He and Sarah made the journey. A number of things happened along the journey. They went to Egypt. They came back. 25 years went by, and I would imagine on most any night when Abraham stepped outside and looked up to the sky, he thought to himself, "What a fool I was to believe that all of the stars in the sky would not be as numerous as the descendants I would have. For I'm 99 years old. I'm surprised I'm living myself. And I got here because I believed that God had set me on a journey of promise." After 25, 30 some odd years, Abraham got word that he and his wife would have a son. And they were reminded of the promise. And Abraham undoubtedly must have said again, "God, you know what? We've been here before. Do you remember 25 years ago when I was just a mere 75-year-old man and just starting retirement, you broke into my life and you said something about me being a blessing? And you said something about me having a son? And you said something about me and having to bless all the nations of the world and being more numerous than the stars in the sky? I remember that quite well. And not a thing has happened." And God showed up. Sarah has a son. He is named Isaac. The years go by. We don't know exactly how many. Many of us probably picture Isaac as a young boy or maybe a young teenager. But the truth of the matter is, he was probably more like a young man when God interrupted again and said, "Abraham, take Isaac. I want you guys to go on a 3-day hike. You're going to bump into a mountain. You're going to go up that mountain. You're going to build an altar. And you're going to sacrifice your son Isaac." Now, from the time that God originally told Abraham that he would bless the nations of the world through his descendants, until the time that God told Abraham to take his only son Isaac on the journey to Mount Moriah, It is very possible that 35, 40, or 45 years had gone by. And undoubtedly, Abraham must have thought to himself, we've not only been here once, we've been here twice, we've been here three times, and yet now I get this again, that somehow you're going to bless through me all of the nations of the world, and so I get it. We've had a son. Maybe I was counting on having 8 or 9 or 10 sons, but we have one son. And God says, I want you to sacrifice that one son. And Abraham must have thought to himself, how could I be so foolish? How could I have gotten into this trap of thinking that after all of this, after all of these years, that now the very son through whom the promise was going to come is going to be offered at Mount Moriah on an altar, not giving back to God. But Abraham, who, by the way, must have been fairly good at negotiation. Remember he got into God with the good little back and forth about Sodom? And all Abraham asked was, you know, if there are 50 righteous people, he worked God all the way down to 10 people, and God said, I can't even find 10. God and Abraham got into a negotiating process, and when God told Abraham to take his son Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice on the mountain, Abraham did not even negotiate. What kind of father doesn't negotiate for their child? The Bible says that Abraham just obeyed. I found this absolutely remarkable. That he didn't say, hey, God, hold it just a second. Back this story up. When I was 75, you said this. When I was 100, I had a son. And now you're asking me to take my son on a three-day journey, build an altar, and offer him as a burnt offering after killing him on the altar. Did I hear you right? And God said, yes. Can you imagine? So just like he had to do when he was 75, this time he gathers some wood, cuts some wood, grabs his knife, calls Isaac, and off they go. Throughout that entire three-day journey, Abraham didn't say a word to Isaac about Isaac being the intended sacrifice. Could you imagine with every single step, every time your foot hits the ground, the name of your son runs through your mind as if to say, Isaac, 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 while not being able to reveal one bit about what God had told him to do. For three long days, every thought of Abraham's must have been, when we get there, I'm going to take the wood. I'm going to put my son on it. I'm going to take this knife. I will drop it through his life, and he will be burned as an offering to God. And as if that were not horrific enough, this was not about just one son. Remember, this is about blessing all of the nations of the earth. How would Abraham build an altar and put a son on it in which all of the promises of God's people, all of the promises of God to reach every other group of people would be killed on the same altar? Could you imagine Abraham trying to process that? Trying to understand that? Trying to accept that? Trying to think through in his mind, this is a lot more than just me offering my son. This is offering on the altar The very promise of God that he gave me when I was 75, I'm going to give it up. I'm going to put a knife through those very words when God spoke to me about stars and descendants and sand on the beach and blessing nations and all of that stuff. All of that stuff comes to an end on the top of that mountain. And yet Abraham went. One step of faith after another. One day after another. Making camp, breaking camp, moving, son, pick up the wood. I'll carry the knife and the fire. And finally they get there, and Abraham says to the other two companions who are traveling, I need you guys to stay here at the base of the mountain. This is just between me and my son and God. And up the mountain they go. Abraham finds the place where God wants him to build an altar. Abraham builds the altar. He puts the wood on the altar. His son Isaac said, well, we got this far, but did we forget to bring an offering? Aren't we supposed to go out and get a lamb or something to put on this thing? Isn't there something that needs to go on this wood, sitting on this altar that will be sacrificed and totally burned as an offering to God? And I can't even begin to conceive of a father turning to his son and saying to him, you are that lamb. And Isaac, laying on top of the wood, laying on top of the altar as the lamb, as the sacrifice. When all was secure, Abraham took his knife. I don't know how he could have possibly put a grip on it. And he raised it in the air over his head. And he was one blink away from putting everything that he had into that knife to drive it through the only son that he had. When he was stopped by heaven. Stopped by God. And as the story unfolds, God had provided a ram whose horns were caught in a thicket, and the ram was placed and offered as the sacrifice, slain and burned. But here's the journey of Abraham. I used to think stories like this in the Bible were just absolutely entertaining, fascinating, incredible stories of what some of the people of God had to do. And then it occurred to me that these are the same steps that we who follow Christ take. We go to those same mountains. We have to make those same kinds of decisions. We are called. After all, did Jesus not say, take up a what and follow him? A cross. We make these same kinds of decisions. And I don't mind talking about it. I don't mind preaching about it. I don't mind reading about it. But I get a little nervous and my life just comes to something of a halt before God when I hear the Spirit of God speaking back to me saying, Brian, You are called to be an Abraham, or God says your name. You're called to take the journey of Abraham. If you want me to work through your life, if you want kingdom mission to flow through you, if you want to bless people, not just people in church, if you just want to bless the people who live across the street, you've got to go to Mount Moriah. You've got to build an altar. You've got to sacrifice on that. And I'm saying, God, what do you want me to put on it? Now, here's the thing. God never asked me what it is I want to put on. I could come up with a good list of things I'd like to put on the altar. God, I'd like to put the barking dog next door on the altar. I don't have any problem putting that dog on the altar. God, I would like to, I've been in ministry some years. There's a number of people, not in this church, in other churches, I would love to put on the altar. My life would be so much easier if I could just put them on the altar. I would gladly offer them back to you. Yeah. And there are all kinds of things that we would love to put on the altar just to get rid of them. And you know, like I know, that when God calls us to the Mount Moriah to which you will go, the thing that you are called and I am called to put on the altar is the thing more often than not is closer to you than anything else in life. And you think to yourself, if I put that on the altar, what do I have? What do I walk away with? What would be the purpose of my life? Why would I want to live on the other side of an altar like that? And yet God calls us to go to the altar of sacrifice. And even if we are trying to work through it, think through it, pray through it, process through it, ask friends about it, read the Bible over it, drop to our knees about it, go on a retreat about it, when God asks us to go to the place of sacrifice, God does so because his kingdom work through us rides on the sacrifice that we bring to the altar. He brought his best to the game. He brought his only son for the sake of the mission, for the sake of our salvation, for the sake of us being redeemed, and for the joy of living our life on God's mission. He calls us to the altar of deepest sacrifice. And it's at that altar where some really tough things get sorted out. Things like, who is the Lord of all of this stuff? Abraham had to come to a difficult decision, a lot of them, most of which we'll probably never know until we hear it from him. But I would suppose one of them was something like this. I would imagine Abraham had to come to the place where he said, you know what, God, I get it now. This is not my son. I waited a long time for him, but he's not my son. He's your son, isn't he? And I can almost hear God saying, yeah, you get it now, Abraham. He was my son all along. So I see that now. And I can imagine Abraham saying, you know what, that really never was my stuff, was it? And I can almost hear God saying, no, Abraham, it never was. You get that now, don't you? I can almost hear Abraham saying, you know what, I waited a long time, many a night, counting stars, and wondering what in the world it would mean for me to be a father who would bless the nations and have descendants as numerous as the stars. But you know what? Those stars were never mine, were they? And I can almost hear God saying, yeah, Abraham, you're there with me now. Those stars were never yours. Sand on the seashore was never yours. The descendants I was telling, oh yeah, they're going to come through you. They're not yours. They're through yours. You don't own them. You don't manage them. You don't control them. This is my story being lived out through you. And if I could imagine Abraham coming to one truth in his life, it was this very one truth, that it was not the story of Abraham. It was the story of God through Abraham. Abraham just had the incredible privilege, and he was positioned and he was called to be the one through whom God would bless the nations. Not Abraham, God, through whom God would reach people's lives, through whom God would bring redemption, through whom God would say, I love you each and every one, and I'll do whatever it takes to reach anybody for my namesake and for the sake of my glory. We're not saved through the name of Abraham, as incredible as this story is. We're saved through the God of Abraham. People aren't saved through us. They're not saved through Ivy Memorial Baptist Church or any church. They are saved through the God of us. And when we are the people who have gone to the mountain and put the thing that we most treasured on the altar and raised the knife to end it all, is it not in that moment that God says, one last thing? You've done all of this, but I'm your provider. I'll put the sacrifice on the altar. I just needed to get you here. I just wanted you to make that altar. I just wanted to see you put the wood on that altar. I just wanted for you to have the experience of what it is like to put your only son on that altar. I wanted you to feel the knife in your hand. I wanted you in your mind to have already made the decision that it is over and it is done. And when you do all of that, I'll put the sacrifice on the altar. In that moment, Abraham, I suppose, was the freest man who ever walked planet Earth. Free to live because he stared death down in the sense that he knew this without ever having seen one in his lifetime, that whatever happened on that day, that if his only son died, that God would raise him. And that's all he had. What would cause a man, what would allow a man to go that far into the story, to go that deep into the act? So much so that only God himself could stop the story. What would cause a person to go that deep? It would be because of this one thing. They believed that God raises the dead. And that's all he held on to. He had nothing else to go on. Nothing. What about a people who have nothing else but this one thing? God raises the dead. That's all you got. What about a people so committed that when we go to the mountain and we prepare the altar of sacrifice, and God names the sacrifice that we are to place on that altar. What about the kind of people? I mean, every one of us talk about changing the peninsula, changing Hampton, changing the world. Nothing gets changed until we're at Mount Moriah. But what happens when we are there? And everything else is moved aside, and all you have is a God who raises the dead and nothing more. Then you have everything you need. Then you can freely live. Then you can freely love. As a matter of fact, when you're standing at Mount Moriah, you can love so much, as difficult as this sounds to our ears, we can even love our enemies, so said Jesus. That's a Mount Moriah experience. It doesn't happen because you wake up feeling good on a sunshiny spring morning. It happens because you go to Mount Moriah. What about your life when you can say, God, every bit of it, every bit of it is all yours, is about you. None of it is mine. None of it is about me. I'll not stamp my name on a single square inch of it because everything exists for the glory of God, and it takes Mount Moriah to reveal all of that to us. So I invite you, challenge you, challenge us. If Mount Moriah is on the horizon of your spiritual walk, be like Abraham. Take up your stuff and take every step. Go to the top of the mountain and build that altar. And go as far as to putting some wood on that altar. And then whatever it is that God says to put on the wood that is on the altar, put it there. Because when you do, you have just opened heaven's doors to provide for you that which you could have never provided on your own, that which you could have never given, but that which you have sacrificed. So all of these centuries later, God blessed through that son. And the mission of God goes on. And because Abraham went to Moriah, we sit in this place and worship that same God. We're going to sing. Maybe the way that you symbolize, maybe the way that you put some action to this story is by just coming. Maybe you just want to stand or kneel. And maybe your Mount Moriah is right before you. Or maybe you sense it's coming. Or maybe you've heard the Spirit talking to you. And I just want to invite you to come. I'd be happy to pray with you. Others would be happy to join you in prayer if you wish. But you might have to go to a mountain you have never been before. Make a sacrifice that you think is inconceivable. And whatever that is, take comfort. Be encouraged. Whatever you sacrifice, God more than raises the dead. And He's got you provided for. Come. Just stand with me. Our Heavenly Father, who could imagine a commitment like this? Who could script a sacrifice so deep? And yet, Abraham rises up out of his own story to take every step to the very mountain that you called him to build the altar that you asked him to, and to provide on it the sacrifice that you asked him to make. And so, Father, we too come. And we come with the knowledge that it is at that mountain, it is in times like this, it is in places like that, where the truth is, we are set free for the kingdom. We're made free in the sacrifice. We find fullness in the giving up. We find life in the giving of life. We experience love when we have put it all on the altar. So, Father, we come. Receive the sacrifice and do with it what your purpose may be. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name.